Hello, my name is Deadly Lucky Seven, and you probably all know me because you have been most likely seeing a lot of people popping up doing my latest questionnaire, which I was really excited to write. I thought it was really fun. I just sort of came up with like the most random assortment of questions I could, and I just tried to be as like just ridiculous as possible with also sort of sprinkling in some philosophy and the stupid shit. Even I'm just like, what the fuck was I thinking? Sorry. Anyways, so somebody requested that I answer the questions of my own questionnaire, which is a little bit cheating because obviously in order for me to write them, I had to have read them. But, you know, still, I'm sure some of you are probably curious. And what's kind of cool about this is some of these questions, I had certain things in mind that I noticed got very quickly misconstrued, and people, like, seemed very adamantly, frustrated almost about it in a way. And I just thought that was kind of funny. So polyamorous relationships are becoming more and more common these days. Do I believe that humans should be monogamous, which means single partner, or does polyamory sound like a thing that you could that I could get into? So this is interesting to me. This is something that I debate on a very regular basis because I've got a friend that's in a polyamorous relationship, and to me it seems like it works for them. And I've also got lots of friends that are in long-term monogamous relationships that do not seem like they're going very well. And that's kind of where this has come from, is it? Not necessarily that I'm wanting people to decide one way or the other. I just want them to think about it. Like, what do they think? And so for me, when I think about this, I think my main issue is not multiple partners, single partner, whatever. It's the idea of long-term committed relationships. I think that that is sort of not what we should be focusing on. Like sure, back in the day, people used to stay together for years and years and years. And my grandparents are one of those couples that just recently celebrated their 50-something, you know, anniversary. But I don't know that those are... I feel like there's a lot of, like, staying together because you have to, you know, along the way. So, along the line, I guess. In fact, I believe I remember reading something that parents that are, like, people that are in arranged marriages, like, you know, a lot of Hindu cultures, up until recently still even will do arranged marriages. A lot of times couples in arranged marriages tend to be more happy than couples that chose to be together after like 10 years or something like that. And I think it's partly a culture thing where like that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to work together and make things work and make ends meet and things. But in our culture, I feel like largely there's this huge, like you gotta find the one for you, the one and only. And I just think that that's such bullshit. And I just would rather say, hey, you know, like, how about we just do this thing until this doesn't work, and then we'll go off and do our own thing, you know? Like, go off and... I don't know. I just... That was a big, huge ramble, but you guys asked for this. So, by the way, I'm drinking the best flavor of Kool-Aid, which I'm going to reveal later. For those of you that have taken this question, on a scale of 1 to 7, how aroused am I at this very second? Probably like a 3, 4. I'm getting some pretty spicy messages at the moment from a couple different people. So yeah, it's nice. So yeah, probably about a 3 or 4. Number 3, most people don't record themselves masturbating or reading erotic scripts to post on the internet. Do I think that because of this we are perverts? I do, but I don't think it's very high on the pervert scale if you've got like, You know, if like a child molester is like, you know, a 5 on the Kinsey pervert scale or whatever, then we are definitely like ones, you know, just average, you know, like we found something that gets us off and like we do it. It's not that big of a deal. But I do think that we are kind of perverted, I would say. So I don't think the average person does this kind of thing. I think I don't think there's anything wrong with being a pervert though, about being into something that's just strange is what perverted means to me. If you want to sit there and listen to people get off on audios, how is it any different from somebody watching like animated hentai porn or something like that? Or, you know, I don't know. It's just not, nothing surprises me anymore in my old age. I'm only 26, by the way. Sorry. Anyways, moving on, because that question, I think, got kind of boring for a second. If reincarnation was real, what would I, the reader of this questionnaire, be incarnated as in my next life? Well, reincarnation is usually based off of karma, from what I understand. I feel like I've lived a pretty decent life, so I'd probably be reincarnated as something good. But I also kind of feel like I could have done better, so maybe there's lessons I need to go back and relearn. I think I would be a turtle. Because I just have a feeling that I would be a turtle. And turtles to me always seemed like super zen creatures. Just like, you know, like they're nature's hobos. Home is where you make it, man. Carry it all on your back, bro. I don't know. I just think turtles are pretty cool dudes. Pretty cool little bros. Next question. If I could choose any flavor from my ejaculate to taste, as it were, I would choose... something ladies like. Pumpkin spice. Done. Done. Moving on. I'm sorry. This is just too fun for me. I've never like gotten to answer my own questions, so this is fun. If I could choose... I already did that question. I just did that question. Let's assume that humankind is given... This is one of those questions that people misconstrued a little bit. Let's assume that humankind is given definitive proof that there is no God, no fate, no purpose in this life. Is that thought liberating or depressing to me? Well, the reason I asked this question was because I was curious. I've got a friend right now is going through that whole mortality, like, nihilistic, nothing matters phase. And I've told him on multiple occasions that there are two ways that you can look at things in this, like, nothing matters mindset. You can either say it with a frown, or you can say it with a smile. And that's what I think is awesome about the idea of there being no purpose, because I don't think I can definitively say that there is no God. You know, I don't believe that there is a God, but I don't think I can definitively say. But I don't really believe that there's any great higher power or fate or purpose to the universe or anything. I think it's like a random assortment of things that just happen to come together in the right way, and we just happen to be lucky enough to be experiencing this weird, retarded phenomenon that occurred, right? And the idea that nothing matters, while it may seem a bit terrifying and confusing and scary at the same time, like, nothing matters. Like, literally, everything about your life that you think is so important and that's weighing you down so much. All of the stress, the job that you never got that you wanted, and the fact that you weren't the valedictorian, or the fact that you weren't the high school homecoming queen, or, you know, whatever, anything like that, any of that bullshit doesn't matter. None of it. Your life is completely what you make it, you know? Real talk. Yeah, so I like that question. I think it's a good one, and I like my perspective on it. I think I've got a pretty scossum perspective on that kind of thing. Because, you know, like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, let's say that some man from the sky does come down and take, like, a third of us back with him or something like that. Okay. Well, that happened, but, you know, like, what about the rest of us and blah, blah, blah. But would you really want something like that to change the way you lived your life if that didn't happen and you lived your entire life believing it would? How many regrets would you have? Yeah. Something. Anyways. If I were in a horror film, who would I be according to archetype? The stoner, the virgin, the jock, the nerd, etc. 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 Ellipses. I think that I would be... I'm inclined to say the stoner, but I think I'm a little too lively. I don't know. I don't think I picture myself as much in like a horror film setup. I don't know. I don't think my type of character works so well in a horror film setup. Maybe I'd be like the guy that like the caretaker of the place or some bullshit like that. Be like the maintenance guy. Yeah. Be like the maintenance guy getting high in the break room, coming to fix your sink or something like that, and then like the fucking monster or, you know, a killer or whatever would show up and be like, "What the fuck is that?" And then boom, die. Yeah, totally. I don't know. I have no idea. I just wanted to know what people thought of themselves whenever I created this question. So I guess I guess in my mind I don't see myself as being part of the group. Hashtag does not play well with others. Anyways, I decide to make a romantic dinner for someone I'm hoping to do the horizontal baby boogie with. What is my go-to meal to cook? I have had good history with fondue, although I no longer have a fondue pot, or fondue forks, or fondue cheese. I'm not really much of a cook, honestly. I pretty much can only make fondue and omelets and, like, very minimalist food. Like, I eat the same thing for breakfast every day because I look at food primarily as, like, sustenance. But I would probably suggest we dine out would be my answer there. Or I would go buy a fondue pot and go through that whole mess. Or, I can make, like, quiche, baked salmon. I can cook a lot of things. I don't know. I just wouldn't. Probably a bad person for that, but whatever. Next question. If you were a Greek god, which would I be? I would very easily be, I don't even have to think about this, I would be Dionysus, the god of theater and wine. Pretty much. Yeah. And I think it's leopards. His, like, animal is like a leopard, so I'm cool with that. I like leopards. Or it might be a jaguar. Jaguar? Anyways, Next question. René Descartes. Oh, hold on a sec. Going back to the Greek gods thing. Like, everybody and their mother has been putting Athena. I think that's really interesting. I haven't seen a single Ares. I haven't seen Zeus. I haven't seen a Hades, really. I've seen a Hephaestus. And, which is cool. I like Hephaestus is a good answer. And, was it, oh, man. I can't remember the name. It's... I can't remember the name. I don't see it offhand. But, somebody answered the God of the Hearth, which I thought was a good one. And I think that's pretty much it. And I'm just like, come on, guys. Come on. Y'all are more creative than this. Also, we can't all be Athena. I mean, come on. But yeah, I would totally be Dionysus or possibly Hermes, maybe? Because he's pretty rock and roll. He's like the god of the road, basically. Messaging, traveling. He's also the god of bandits, which is kind of cool. Little known fact. Next one. This is my favorite question. René Descartes was sitting in a bar. The bartender came over and asked if he would like another drink. He replied, "I think not," and he vanished. Wait, this isn't even a joke. Sorry, I forgot what I was doing for a second. How about, what is my favorite joke? That's actually not even my favorite joke. I would say probably my favorite joke is, I tell it to musician friends, because they're the only ones that really seem to get it that much, but, it goes, so there's this, I usually tell it with a clarinet, because I have a friend who is very avidly a clarinet player, and I make fun of her for all the time, but, because most people don't really care about the clarinet. If like, you're in a band setting and somebody's like, "Oh, I play the clarinet," more often than not, they're like, "Oh, you should buy a saxophone, because the fingering's the same." Anyways, so clarinet players get a bad rap. So the whole thing with the joke is, there's this woman, and she is a clarinet player, and she gets this gig at a bar mitzvah. So she drives up, and she plays in the gig, and she gets paid, and on her way back, she sees this little bar, and she's like, "Oh, you know, I had a good day today. I'm going to stop and have a few drinks." So she pulls over, and she parks in the parking lot, and she gets ready to go in, and then she stops for a second, and she's like, "Oh, shit," and she locks her car, and she goes back inside, and she has a few drinks, a few more probably than she should, and then she realizes how late it's getting, so she rushes out, and sure enough, somebody broke her goddamn window and threw another clarinet in there. I'm sorry. I love that joke. Anyways. Yeah, so that's my favorite joke. Probably, I think. I really like this René Descartes one, though. I'd never heard it until I decided to do this, and then I looked up, you know, basically, like, philosophical jokes, because I wanted to keep this whole thing, even though it's got questions like Kool-Aid questions. I wanted to keep shit philosophical, you know, bro. So, yeah. What is my favorite flavor of Kool-Aid? Warning, I do not accept grape as a flavor of Kool-Aid. That shit is purple, and until the day I eat a grape that tastes like purple Kool-Aid, I refuse to acknowledge it is grape. Said Mitch Hedberg. Quote, unquote. Purple is my favorite flavor of Kool-Aid. Which is why I'm so angry that they call it grape. For some reason. I'm actually currently drinking a very large glass of purple Kool-Aid because purple Kool-Aid is pretty much just where it's at in the world. That's all of me. I am 6 foot tall. Surprising, I know. How could somebody so immature be so height? What's the word? Moving on. Last question. If you were to go on a road trip, a coming-of-age type story in which you faced incredible odds along with a plethora of hilarious sexual misadventures, who would be the three Gone Wild audio users that I would bring with me and why? I feel like, even though everybody keeps saying this, I would have to bring Sassmaster 77, because she's pretty much like my soulmate. She's the absolute shit, and everybody knows it, and that's why everybody loves her. So definitely Sass. Coming of age story. I would have to say also probably damn. This is a hard question to answer. I think Arabelle. I don't really know Arabelle super, super well. I've like chatted with her very, very briefly, but yeah, Arabelle seems like just fucking cool as tits. I feel like I'd get along really well with her. And let's see. And I would probably not want to select a specific group. I would want to do a few test groups first and weigh my options. You know, really see what was going on with each dynamic and things. Like, for some reason I have, even though I don't think I've ever had a conversation with this individual, for some reason Mr. Tinkles is coming to mind. And I think it's because I've just, like, seen really funny things that he's said or done. And then I'm also thinking, let's see, some people that aren't even here anymore that like haven't been here forever, I'm guessing. But yeah, so that's, I guess, my answer to that. Is Arabelle, Sassmaster 77, and apparently Mr. Tinkles. Hi, Mr. Tinkles. I'm Deadly Lucky 7. Nice to meet you, good sir. You probably did not think this was ever going to happen. But anyways, that's enough of that.